Well, hey, everyone. We are here for this week's culture segment and very privileged to have another guest in the studio for you this week, someone you have not heard from in the past. His name is Dr. Randy Carlson. He is a counselor. He's an intentional living coach as well as a radio host. Very interesting background as well, but he has a live call-in program called Intentional Living. It airs daily on more than 250 radio stations, and he has written a number of different books. He lives in Tucson, Arizona with his wife, has three grown children, so he knows young adults, certainly from a very firsthand firsthand experience, right, having launched some from the nest as well. But he is the president of Family Life Communications Incorporated, and really, you guys are geared towards transformation, I guess,
absolutely,
in marriages and lives, and really believing that that happens intentionally.
That's right.
And speaking of intentionality, you have a book, The Power of One Thing, which I had the privilege of reading. And the subtitle on it is How to Intentionally Change Your Life. And I was just joking with you before we started talking, Dr. Carlson, that we thought that we coined the word intentionality here at The Boundless Show, or at Boundless, because we talk about it so often, yeah, and have drummed it into our own audience. And so it'll be fun to get your perspective on it as we chat today. So welcome.
Thank you, Lisa.
Very fun.
You know,
that
when we think about intentionality, there's really four ways we can live our lives. We can either be intentional, which to me is you have a problem to solve. You have a goal that's bigger than the problem, mm-hmm, and then every day you do the next right one thing in that process of reaching that goal. And for young adults, man, listen, you got your whole life in front of you. As you look to marriage, as you look to a career, you know, it's either going to happen to you or you're going to make it happen. And as a follower of Christ, you know, we're made in His image. God was very intentional. Mm-hmm. And we need to be intentional. So one way is to live intentionally, but I think you probably find, and I think many young adults see this as well, you can either be good intentioned, there's a lot of good intentions, or you can be unintentional, or you can be complacent. And those are really the four, what I think are the four sort of quadrants of life. And we're all about living the intentional life. That's our whole ministry.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because really from the get-go and what you had to say, especially in the book, you said here, whoever or whatever is most intentional in your life wins.
That's right.
And I think that that's something that a lot of people, young adults included, don't necessarily think about. We tend to let life happen to us, and then at some point we get dissatisfied with where we are, and then we're like, what happened? What can I do differently? How would you say, especially for someone who's just starting out, what's the best way to just understand where you need to be intentional in your life and maybe where you need to shore some things up or how you even get started in a healthy way?
Well, life is a directional experience. And every day we get up and we decide what direction we're going to take. And there's a point where you can't keep blaming your parents. You can't blame your teachers.
I'm still trying to do that, actually.
Well, it works some days.
Some days it works for me. Some days
it
doesn't. It depends.
But there's a point where you wake up and say, listen, I really have to decide how I choose to live my life today. And if you look around and you say, okay, what is the one thing in my life today that sort of ain't working? I'm stuck. And we look at five essential areas, Lisa. We look at our faith, mm-hmm, family. We look at finances, health, and work. Now, if you look at those five essential areas, which one of those just isn't working for you? And take one thing from there and say, okay, here's a problem. Let's work on a goal, and then let's do the next right one thing. We call it the intentional living journey. And the intentional living journey is all about saying, hey, I make a commitment for the next 30 days, every day, to do that one thing that will make the biggest single difference in my life. And it's not an easy thing. You know, some people say, well, is that simplistic? Well, it's not simplistic and it's not simple because, Lisa, you know and I know that when inertia sets in, which is the tendency for a immovable object to stay immovable, just mm-hmm, to stop and stay there, it takes a lot of energy to get that thing moving. And that is where the power of one thing works. What one thing could I do today that'll make the biggest difference in my life? And every morning when I get up, I wear a little one thing wristband. We've shared this with thousands of people around the country because they need that kind of reminder to say, okay, every day when I get up, what's the one thing I'm going to stay focused on today? There'll be 100 things I'm going to do, but what one thing would make the single biggest difference in my life?
Mm-hmm. And I like how you said that because you actually state, you know, in your writing how you need to think of that thing, and then at the first available opportunity, you need to make a priority of doing that thing.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, days, days come and go. Mm-hmm. And ask yourself, what did you do yesterday that was worthwhile? I mean, what did you do yesterday that counted? What did you do yesterday that moved you toward your goal? Mm-hmm. You know, you did a lot of stuff. Maybe you went to class, you went to work, you hung out with your friends, you did a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But did any of those things really count when you think about where you want to be or where God would have you be in 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years down the road?
Yeah. And there's something, you know, you said there's a difference between being a doer and a dreamer. Right. And kind of backing up to that, because I want to talk about goals here a little bit. We all say that we have goals, or we want to have goals, or we have great, you know, being well-intentioned is not the same as being intentional.
That's right.
And a lot of us have good intentions, and we know the things that need to change, or we feel that we do, but we're caught in that pattern of inertia of just, it's a lot easier for us to just let things slide, or to say, well, you know, next month or next year, I'll tackle this. Mm-hmm. Or in our cases, well, I'll just have my life be in a shambles now, but certainly when I get married, then I'm going to get things together, or then my life's going to change or whatever. So we have this maybe unrealistic expectation of what that's going to look like. How do you say, because I know you talk about this, turning that woulda, coulda, shoulda into an actual goal?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you think about our lives, Lisa, your listeners today, there's probably three categories we fall into. There are a group of us who are thinkers. We're thinkers, we're analyzers, we're planners, we're people who like to, you know, be rational in our thoughts. The problem with that is we can be very good intentioned because we can work it all out in our heads, but then we procrastinate and we don't do it. There's another group that are heart people, people who are driven by their passions, their emotions, and they can do lots of stuff, but it's unintentional. I mean, just lots of things get done, but they're not focused. What we have today, though, is a small group of people who are doers, the hand people, the ones who get things done. They're listening to this broadcast and say, why don't the rest of you just do what I do? Get up and stay busy. But again, it may not be focused. So the first thing we have to do when we talk about establishing that goal is ask yourself the question, if I were looking back 10 years from now at my life, and maybe I'm a single person today, maybe praying about being married, 10 years from now, maybe into a career, maybe having a family. What is it? What do you want it to look like? What is it you believe that God has laid upon your heart 10 years from now? Well, we don't know the outcome. Life has turns, and obviously goals can change. But then the question is, what one thing am I doing today that's going to get me toward that goal? If I'm doing anything that's keeping me from pursuing that goal, it better at least be on the table to be questioned and looked at. Mm-hmm. And that's really, to me, intentional living. It's engaging not only our thinking, but also our passions. Because our passions, Lisa, as you know, become the fuel that drive us. It's our hearts that drive us to do things. But if we're driven by our heads without our hearts, then we can procrastinate. If we're driven by our hearts and not our heads, we can be chaotic, but when we put them both together and then follow through, wow, that really is intentional living.
Mm-hmm. So how do we reconcile that with, because I can just hear people saying this right now, they're going to throw out, you know, well, remember, scripture also says, don't say tomorrow I'm going to go here, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. How do we have a good balance so that we're not a complete control freak and saying, well, you know, here's where I'm going to be in 5 years, and I'm not allowing any opportunity for God to speak into
that. But let's finish what that says. Mm-hmm. What it says in that passage is, don't say tomorrow I'm going to go such and such a city and have a wealthy business. Instead, you should say, if it's God's will, I will go to such and such a city and certain things will happen. God is not anti-goal setting, but God is very anti-me setting the goal, and it's all about me and meeting my needs and my desires and my selfishness. God wants us to humble ourselves before Him and say, God, what one thing could I do in my life that'll bring you pleasure? That is really the whole point of living what I call a directional or intentional life. Even the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, forgetting what is behind, this one thing I do, I press toward the prize or toward the goal. Mm-hmm. And so life should be very goal-directed. I think anything less than a goal-directed life, you're leaving it up to others' intentionality in your life. And whoever is most intentional, like you said, I put it in the first page of my book, whoever is most intentional is going to win. And Lisa, we have started a ministry, and intentional living is all about helping, and especially young people and young adults, because you guys have your whole life ahead of you. Get very goal-directed now. Figure out what will please Christ and do it. And we have challenged, and we are challenging, 1 million people to join us on this journey. And we're well along our way. In fact, even on our website, we've developed a journey section where people can learn how to jumpstart living intentionally. How do you start with a problem and a goal and get started, and a Bible study to help them in this process? Because without help, as you know, I mean, we can have great intentions, but if we don't have that encouragement of a podcast like this, or a church that'll encourage us, or someone that can walk alongside of us, or an intentional living type journey, it's easy to get sidetracked.
Mm-hmm. And that website is theintentionallife.com. Folks can get additional direction there. Can you give us, Dr. Carlson, just a practical example of maybe a big dream or a goal, something that someone's going to put off because they think it's unattainable, or they just don't, mm-hmm. they can't break it down, and talk about applying the one thing principle to that?
Okay, I'll give you an example. I had a woman call me on my radio program. She was about 40 years old, and we were talking about goals, setting a goal for your life. She said, my whole life I wanted to learn to play the oboe. And she said, I never took music lessons because I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I was capable. I was busy with my life. And she said, I heard you guys talk about being intentional and doing it. Life is short. Do that one thing. So she said, I went and bought an oboe, and I went to my son's sixth grade band instructor and asked if I could join the sixth grade band at school. and she called me. This was 5 years later. She said, I want you to know now, today I'm playing in our city's symphony orchestra.
Wow.
The first thing she did, she went out and bought an oboe. And here's the key, Lisa. Mm-hmm. This thing of inertia, this thing of getting stuck happens to all of us. That's why we procrastinate. We freeze. We don't know what to do. We're mm-hmm. fearful. We're worried. Take a step.
Yeah.
It may not be the perfect step. That you may fall down, get back up, and keep going. If you want to learn to play the oboe, buy an oboe. If you want to learn to have a good relationship with somebody, pick up the telephone and reach out to them. If you want to learn how to pray, start praying. If you want to learn how to evangelize, talk to someone about Christ. Just do something that'll start moving you in that direction. Mm-hmm. It's like a spaceship on the launch pad. There's more fuel used in the first minute of launch than there is in the entire rest of that space mission. Mm. And that's the way it is with inertia. You're going to use more energy in that first step than you will later on. Get moving. And as you start moving, it's easier to keep moving. And if you do that today, I think you'll be very encouraged if you do.
And what about, let's just talk a little bit about discouragement in the process.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of people that take that first step, and then after about step 24, then they just want to give up because they're seeing backtracking, or
right.
they maybe fail, or they, because maybe this is a personality type thing, but I have friends and sometimes find myself in this camp as well, that, you know, we're all gangbusters, but the minute, you know, we're all or nothing. So we're either going to be all in, or else as soon as we start seeing some failure or start seeing some, well, you know, this isn't happening at quite the rate I wanted it to, then we just throw in the towel. How can we deal with, you know, for something that really is a long-term thing that needs to be met with
yeah.
staying in the game?
Well, here's something to help you. There's a little formula I use when I'm counseling with people or teaching. It's expectations minus reality always equals disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
If you're disappointed in God today, it's because your expectations aren't right. If you're disappointed in a relationship, it's because your expectations are not in line. And so if you start out as a goal-directed person and you say, well, you know, I can pick up the oboe, and 2 years from now, I'm going to be playing in the symphony in New York.
Hmm.
That's not real. That's not reality. That's not a reasonable expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And so set reasonable expectation and work toward it. When we're disappointed, Lisa, in life, there's only one of two things we can change. We can either adjust our expectations, or we can adjust reality.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we need to do a little of both in the process of not getting stuck. Because once disappointment sets in, some of us are subject to disappointment to the point where we just stop, we freeze, we're dead in the water. I mean, you might as well give up. And so be careful of that. If you're sensing that disappointment in your life, maybe you've been pursuing a relationship or career or work or whatever, and you're feeling like, oh, I'm just not getting anywhere, be realistic. Have an expectation that's more adjusted to what reality is like, and then stay at it. But the key is get up every day, be intentional, do the next right one thing. Life is short. You can do this. And I tell people, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You're as smart as anybody else. You're as capable as anybody else, probably more capable than most. The question is, are you going to allow God to let His Holy Spirit really flow through you to do that next right one thing? And if you do, I can almost promise you, as you begin that intentional living journey, it'll change your life.
Hmm. What about dealing with realistic expectations when it involves other people? Because I can say, you know, I think I'm great and I think that I'm going to get stuff done, but it's just all these other crazy people. It's all these crazy people that are in my life that are hindering me.
Actually, that's probably the truth, Lisa.
I know, that's what I think. So really, I just need to dump all these friendships.
That's it.
That's what
right.
I need to do is get rid of all these people in my life and just have it be me and Jesus. So, but what would you say to that kind of situation? Because there are, especially relationally, you know, it's kind of like, well, I'm trying to do this. We hear that, you know, in the marriage sphere all the time. Trying to move something ahead, and it's like, ugh.
Again, we're talking about head, heart, and hand. You know, some people who are hand people, they got to get things done. They are very goal-directed. They have a checklist during the day of everything they're going to do. And then at the end of the day, if they did something that wasn't on the checklist, they write it on the checklist afterward so they can cross it off. You know, it's that sense of accomplishment. So then people become an obstacle to them. And if we're that way, we've got to stop and say, no, wait a minute. You know, what is my life about? What is my real goal? Ultimately, is to please Christ. Ephesians 5:10 says in the Message, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. And that should be a daily thing. And of course, pleasing Christ is being patient and kind and long-suffering, all the attributes of 1 Corinthians 13, to love people. So we should always have people before our projects. And if people are a problem, then you got to separate my relationship with them maybe from accomplishing a goal. Not everybody should be a part of your team in accomplishing a goal, but everybody should be loved and appreciated and respected.
Okay. All right. So now as we kind of finish up here, this is where we're going to get personal because everyone's going to say, oh my goodness, Dr. Carlson wrote a book on this, whatever. I'm sure he's just naturally good at this.
I am.
I'm sure this is something he could do in his sleep. This is something he's probably like 99% perfect anyway. So what's
my
the
wife's
point?
Not here, so I can tell you that. So.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure that's, I'm sure that is the case, at least 99%. So I want to know, what goals have you reached? How has this changed? Like, how are you different today from 10 years ago based on living intentionally, doing that one thing, especially related to, you know, applying it in any, in the sense of any weaknesses that you have and having to shore those up?
Well, I'm a head person. I'm a thinker, a planner, a strategist. Put me in a room with creative people and I'll come up with 100 good ideas. Mm-hmm. But I have to have other people get it done. I'm great at opening doors, but closing doors is not my gift. And so I have learned. In fact, I wrote this book, Lisa, out of my own therapy. I mean, this was my own therapeutic process of saying, Randy, get the next thing done. Be intentional. And what I have learned is that where I'm strong, I can lead. Where I'm not strong, I need other people who are stronger than I am. People who have maybe more of a heart. People who are more in taking things and getting them done and can organize a whole day. And so for me, the goal for me in the last 10 years has been not to do 1,000 things, because I tell you, my staff would tell you that I can have 1,000 ideas. I mean, I could start 1,000 ministries, but I have learned to be focused. God has given me a short time on this planet, and I have come to the conclusion that now until the day I meet Him, I have one goal, and that is to help people fulfill what God has placed in their lives by being intentional. And so I think the biggest change in my life in the last 10 years has been focus, to realize that my marriage is important, my family is important, my health, and taking care of the resources or finances that God's given me, and then my relationship with Him. So I think probably, to answer your question, probably the single biggest thing that's changed in my life, Lisa, has been moving from chaos, lots of options, to staying focused on one thing.
Okay. And then quickly, because this is so boundless appropriate here, and because of your experience, obviously, in the counseling sphere, when we talk here at Boundless about moving intentionally towards marriage, we talk about that in a number of different ways. But really, we see how our culture has allowed marriage to become this very, it's happenstance. You know, it's like, well, you know, if it happens, it happens, whatever. You know, maybe I'll meet someone, maybe I won't. Maybe God will just drop someone in my lap. What is your vision for intentionality in relationships as far as moving towards marriage and family and a spouse that God would have for you?
Well, I'm huge on pro-marriage. I mean, I was 19 years old, Lisa. I mean, I was a young adult, but I was really a young adult. I was 19. My wife was 18 when we got married. So I guess I tell people I was hormone happy and brain dead, I guess. I guess that's what it was. But when you are intentional toward relationships, remember the scripture that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I think you got to keep in check your desires. Why is it you want a relationship? What kind of a relationship? What's the purpose for it? Is it to honor Christ? But if you're not intentional in pursuing marriage, for instance, and you just let whatever happens, happens, I'm telling you, you'll run into somebody, then the spark will be there, but you won't be ready to respond in the healthy way because you haven't prepared your heart. You're not sure what you're looking for, and you're not sure what to respond to. So if anything, you need to be very intentional in guarding your heart and your mind when it comes to any sort of a romantic relationship. And then be ready. Be open. If God opens the door, be intentional in responding.
Mm-hmm. And know on the front end what those non-negotiables are, so you're not going in Absolutely. And then having to decide on the back end, oh, is this person even biblically a person that God would have?
I'll tell you, because what happens is a counselor, by the time people get to premarital counseling, they've already made the decision. Mm-hmm. And once the heart gets engaged and the sparks are flying, it's kind of like forget talking about what are your values and your goals and I'll change them later and I'll change her later and all that.
Right.
If you don't have it taken care up front before you start, you're going to get in trouble on the back end.
All right. Well, Dr. Randy Carlson, thank you so much for joining us here at The Boundless Show. Very fun to have. We talk about, no, I'm not saying you're old. I'm not saying
Please.
That at all. I'm not.
This has been going around today.
I'm not saying you're old, but we appreciate having people who have wisdom to
there
share, who are a few steps ahead of us. Okay, that's all I'm saying. And his book is called The Power of One Thing. Again, the website, and like I said, tons of resources there, and really this challenge. You can learn more about that as well at theintentionallife.com. So thank you so much, Dr. Randy Carlson, for being with us here today.
Thank you, Lisa.